Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The following is a paid program. The views or claims made are not necessarily those of WILK staff, management, or sponsors.
It started with two women. And, well, today, it's still two women. But not just any women. It's Laurie and Lynn.
Who can turn the world on with a smile?
Laurie and Lynn, giving Northeast Pennsylvania local talk to start your weekend right.
Suddenly make it all seem worthwhile.
And now, celebrating their 10th year on the air on WILK News Radio, here's Laurie and Lynn.
Love is all, no need to waste it. You can have a town, why don't you take it? You're gonna make it after all.
Okay, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing today?
I'm taking a deep breath, but I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm finding this is an interesting situation in my life where not once but twice in one day I've lost my phone.
Yeah.
And it's somewhere in my house, and I can't find it. Part of the problem is that it doesn't ring. Even when I have it, it doesn't ring. So if I don't see my phone ringing or doing whatever it's doing, I have a problem. So when you hit the landline and you call your phone number, even though it's ringing somewhere, I can't hear it. So I have to... I just can't imagine what I've done with the phone. It, twice in less than about... 3 hours. I can't.
You need
understand.
One of those tracking devices.
I do. I need something that is like a red bulb that
beeps or bings or tings or whatever the heck it does.
But I understand if I go online on my laptop to the Apple site or however I do this and hit find my phone, it will find the phone. And I understand it will do a sound, a ringing, a buzzing sound.
Even though it's on.
Even though it may be on, I don't know what it's on. So. I'll have to try that when I get home.
Cool.
But it's been interesting to be driving and knowing
it's terrible. It's you feel lost, don't you?
I do.
I am.
I do, and I'm just concerned that something... What if something... Go through the what ifs. What if something happened while I'm driving?
Don't
and I
think
no,
about it.
Ick. So anyway, that's been my morning. It's been just lovely. And other than that, I'm fine. I can't think of much else to say about my situation. A couple shout-outs, though, I'd like to do. First of all, I'd like to do a shout-out and say thank you very much to Carolyn. I forget what her last name is. I know it's Carolyn...
Baldi Catalano.
That's what I couldn't think. We were... at their establishment, Mansour's, on Sunday for brunch, which was just absolutely wonderful. I'd never been there for brunch. And when we were waiting for the bill, it just seemed to never be coming. And finally, I think it was Meyer, handed a credit card to Carolyn's brother,
Michael? No.
Okay. And said, you know, here, let's ring this up. And he said, Happy Mother's Day.
I know.
And that was so kind. Mm-hmm. I really, really appreciate it.
They are the most loving, kind, generous people. But as my friends tell me in this business, and I wouldn't know because I've never been a restaurateur, but they always say that is the best thing you can do if you own a restaurant is to treat occasionally your best and most frequent customers mm-hmm. because it's a way. I know Brenda Bastoke used to say that. She used to get, I know that Butchie at the bar at lunch, they would always have donuts and cut them up and pass them around for a little snack. They could have ordered, you know, their menu, what they had, but they didn't. Mm-hmm. Or you give a drink if you're at the bar to people occasionally. You do things like that to show appreciation. Not that it's ever needed or expected or even thought of, but Carolyn is one of those young people who really get a young woman in business. She and her husband own it. Carolyn runs it, manages it. And she really gets that whole idea of
giving back
yeah. and treating people mm-hmm. who treat you well. So yeah. It's wonderful to do that because you're amazed at some of the things that you just never, like I never even think of that. So when it happens, it's like, yo, because mm-hmm. I go there to give the business. So I'm right. not. Right. Paying attention. So mm-hmm. it's often that's like the one day we were having lunch at Mansour's, Meyer and I, and Russell Prino was at the bar at Carolyn's having lunch at the you know, the little, what would
at
you
the
call
counter.
It? The coffee bar there.
Yeah.
And he was having his lunch, and this Christy came over and said, Russell treated you to lunch. And I said, Russell.
Wow.
And he said, you're great customers to us. So, I mean, he's doing that at somebody else's
right.
place. So
that's cool.
Yeah, that's, I love that. I think that's wonderful.
That's very nice.
And so many people do that.
Yeah.
So, and never expect it, but greatly appreciated and not needed too. I mean, you don't, but yes,
but
a big
really,
thank you to it was and
nice.
Everybody was, we're all, Deb's a mom, I'm a mom, you're a step-mom and a step-grandma.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good thing. So she's wonderful. So yes, thank you to them. They're great people.
And the other thing I wanted to make sure I shout out about is that as we are recording this today, which is Thursday, this afternoon, my nephew is graduating.
From law school?
From Temple Law
yeah.
School, magna cum laude.
Good boy.
And he's also was asked to join what they call the Order of the Coif. I don't know what that means, but that is some prestigious law society. I don't know what it is.
No, I've never even heard of it.
He was very excited about all that. So a lot of hard work went into this, and I just say congratulations. I
can't believe it's already 3 years.
I can't either.
And he's graduating with one of my favorite friends, Franny Notariani.
Yes.
So congratulations
mm-hmm.
to Fran and the Notariani family.
Yep.
He's finishing with Tim. So
yes.
congratulations to your family.
Yeah, that's really cool.
So now you have a lawyer in the family, Lynn.
Yeah,
pro bono,
good.
Here I come.
Exactly. I was going to ask you about that.
That's
you
it.
Were surrounded by
That's
tons
right.
of lawyers.
And they all did. They were all wonderful. The,
yes.
the Foleys were very, very, very helpful in so many ways
yeah.
to my family. They really were and continue to be. And now that Sean will be finished, well, we always, Meyer teases them all the time. Get ready. A little. I could use some pro bono work, Sean. So.
Yeah. Well.
Not a bad to say, my son, the lawyer.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And then I also found out from my sister that my niece, Tim's older sister, is also getting her master's degree in education, and she's graduating summa cum laude
from
in September.
Temple?
No, I think it's St. Joseph's University.
Okay.
I don't remember
yeah.
which one, but she was doing it all night classes
yeah.
and things,
cool.
you know.
Good for them.
But yay.
Shirley, don't call me Shirley, would be very proud.
She would be intensely proud. And
yes.
Tim would be the first, he would be the first one to say this, that he had scholarships when he was going to undergraduate school from Temple and Villanova. Both
Great.
Of them were full ride kind of things. And St. Joe's was in there somewhere. I forget what the deal was. But he was so conflicted about which one he should pick. And he for some reason, obviously my mom was still alive, he went over to her and said, I don't know what to do. What do you think I should do? And she said to him, you go with the one that your heart tells you to go with. Never mind thinking this thing through. Go with where your heart tells you. And that is what made a decision for him.
There you go.
And it's just, he never forgot that. It just was that one moment, you know, where there was a great bond between them, and she just gave him some 80-some-year-old advice.
Advice, you know, that's sage advice. That's what it is.
So, yeah, she would be extremely proud of both of them.
Yeah.
And it's a good thing. Did I tell you that your newspaper boy is moving?
To where?
Orlando.
Why?
Because that's where his children are.
Oh, yes, you did tell me that. So I always think when people say Orlando, I go, why?
Yeah. Well, they found a house. They put a bid on it, and the bid was accepted.
Okay, good. Now they have to sell their house.
Yeah, and they don't think they'll have a problem with that one either.
Good. Good for him.
So things are moving along in the family.
And tell them if we're ever in Orlando, we'll stop and visit.
Yeah.
Yeah. There we go. You know who else we have to have, give a big shout out to? Oh. I saw yesterday, Carl Witkowski. And Carl said to me, he's on the Advocacy Alliance. He's the president of the Advocacy Alliance board. And we had a joint board meeting for two of our organizations underneath the Human Services Alliance board, which were also on the board, or Carl and I, but Friendship House and Advocacy Alliance. And as soon as I saw Carl, he gave me a big hug and a kiss. And he said, I listen to you every Saturday. And he's told me that before. He would pick up his mom, and he said when he picks her up on Saturday, he would turn it on and listen. So big shout out to my dear friend, Carl Witkowski. Okay. One of the smartest guys I think I've ever met. And I mean that serious. Oh, yeah. And so quick and so bright, and but yet so, like, playful. Like, he doesn't have that, you know, that too smart attitude where you don't, there's nothing else. He's like, has a lot of personality. So he's just a really good guy. Love him. So hi, Carl.
That's good.
It's a little sad news is that Meyer had to put his 18-year-old cockapoo, Baxter, to sleep this morning. He called me at 2:50 this morning and said, will you come with me up to our good friends at VREC? And when I tell you, I mean, both of my puppies had to be put to sleep there. And it was the way they treat you is so wonderful. The experience really sucks. But the fact that they're great there, it makes it so much more, you know,
tolerable.
Thank you. Yeah. So anyway, we went in. There was nobody there. Thank God. I mean, no one else in the that we could see. There were no people in there. And they took such good care of Meyer and Baxter. And it was hard for him because 18 years is a long, long time to have a pet and to be so good for all those years. So. That's just the worst feeling, though. Because I looked at him and I said, you know, when I had to make that decision with my dogs, I thought, who am I to make this decision that today is the day? But yeah. It's the most, I think, the only humane thing you can do when they're suffering. And he said he was, you know, he thought he was going to be okay, but he said he started making a lot of noises. And he said, I just felt like he was in distress. Pain. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember. And I felt the same way you just said about who am I to make this decision. But I had, I had two Siamese cats.
Right.
They were litter mates. And one we discovered probably very shortly before she passed that she was born with one kidney. And the other one looked like a little tiny kidney bean. It just never grew. So when she developed some kind of a condition, she just didn't have enough strength to fight it. And so that's what finally got her. But the day, you know, I kept saying to the vet, how will I know when it's time to do this? I mean, I don't want her to suffer, and I don't want to do this prematurely. He said, trust me when I tell you, you will know.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a morning that I just remember, it was in the summer, and the sun was out, and she was very lethargic and hadn't eaten in a couple days.
Yeah, that's...
So I just took her out, put her on the patio where it was nice and warm,
mm-hmm.
and just stayed there with her, petted her, and I finally said, it's time.
Yeah.
And so,
and you do know instinctively. There's, I know that happened with both of my dogs. I knew it. I did the same thing with Phoebe. It was a beautiful. She was my black cocker spaniel, and it was a beautiful early fall day in September. And I sat with her out on my deck for a couple hours, and then I took her, and it was, I have a picture of her in the car seat, going in the front seat, and but we will meet them again at the Rainbow, over the Rainbow Bridge.
Yes.
And we are going to take a quick break. You're listening this morning to Laurie and Lynn's show, and we'll be right back.
It's Saturday morning with Laurie and Lynn. Now, back to Laurie and Lynn.
Hi.
Hi.
We're back. My name is Lynn Evans. I am the managing director of a company called Women of Substance, LLC, which is a financial planning firm specifically for the needs of baby boomer women. I'm also the host of a podcast called Power of the Purse, available on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
I'm Laurie Cadden, the owner of Laurie Cadden Enterprises, which is a fundraising, PR, and special event business.
And you got a story to tell.
You just can't believe it.
If it's you, yes,
yeah,
I can.
Yeah, I know. So I'm pulling out of my house yesterday morning at about 10 of 11, out of my driveway and onto Jefferson and headed towards Marion Street in Green, Dunmore. I live in Dunmore, but if you're familiar with the area, it's right there. And I see Mike Brown, pharmacist Mike, Brown's drugstore, son, who I love. His brother Ryan and Sean are dear best friends. And Jake is parked on Marion Street, which is the intersecting street. And I stopped and I looked at him, and he points with his finger. And I rolled down my window, and I see this beautiful black, well, I didn't know if it was a rooster or what, it was a chicken, a hen. I had no idea. It was because it had the red thing and the red little, I had no idea. And I'm like, oh, Mike. And I said to him, oh, my God, Jake, what is he? He said, I know. And I said, it's so cute. Well, she's taking her good natured time waddling across at a diagonal across Marion Street. So Jake, God bless that young kid, is just in amazement, which I am too, because here you are in the city. And I know you can have roosters and or chickens in Scranton, but I've never seen one roaming the streets. Okay. So he pulls up, it crosses the street safely, gets to my neighbor's yard, and he leaves, and the two other cars are coming down. I don't know if they saw it or not, because he was now behind a wall, because there's a wall that is like parallel to the next block of Jefferson, which is the 1300 block. But the way the blocks go, you kind of have to scoot up a little and then out. So so I pull over a little to the side, but I'm not paying attention to anything because I'm making sure this rooster does it or whatever it is isn't going to get hit, right? Yeah. So it's walking on the grass, and I decide I got to take pictures, so no one's going to believe me if I don't take. So I took out my camera, my phone, and I shot three pictures of the rooster. And by the way, they're phenomenal pictures, but they were fast.
Yes.
Well, as I'm making sure she's on the ground, and she's like with her wings, and she jumps up to the you have to get that.
Yeah, I got that.
And there, and she jumps up onto the wall.
Excuse me, this is radio, not TV.
I know, but Johnny's in there laughing. But he's seeing my hands flipper.
Yeah, the hands are fluttering. So there's you need to know that.
Right.
Okay.
So she jumps on the wall, and then she starts walking down the Jefferson Avenue. So I'm still watching her do this. So a FedEx driver pulls up behind me, and he's laying on the horn and screaming, get going, you know, what are you doing? But like a nut job.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking, first of all, buddy, I don't really think you're supposed to do that with FedEx or anybody who's driving for a company like that.
Right.
React like a jerk. Mm-hmm. So I pulled over and kind of pulled over to the side a little. And he, instead of going around me, continues to stay behind me, screaming out. Now, my windows are up, and I can hear him. He's like, get off the phone, yelling, like screaming. I'm not on the phone. Mm-hmm. Do I drive and talk on the phone? Yes. Mm-hmm. I have Bluetooth, but I do it. I'm never holding a phone.
Right.
I was holding the phone to shoot
pictures. Yeah.
Okay? I wasn't moving either. I was stationary. Uh-huh. So instead of just going around me, okay, he could get frustrated, but screaming out the window like a maniac. So now I'm distracted by him getting on me. So I figure, okay, what am I going to do? I can't follow this chipster. So I drive down, but the West Side Irish... the West Side Irish woman with my Irish up, I pull up to the stop sign and I put my car in park and I get out of my car and I start walking back to him.
All right.
And I said, because I was, and I was calm, but deliberate.
Yeah.
And I said, excuse me. I just want you to know the reason I was stopped is maybe this sounds bizarre, but there was a chicken, rooster, whatever it is, walking, and I was making sure it was okay, that nobody ran it, killed it. And he goes, well, maybe the person you saved the life of was mine because you were on the phone. I'm thinking, you pompous a-hole. So I said, are you nuts? I said, I was making sure the chick, and I said, and plus, I wasn't on the phone, I was taking a camera, and I wasn't moving.
Mm-hmm.
So... He and I said to him, you know, and at that point I was like, this is not going nowhere. So I said, you know what? I said, and I called him a word that starts with an A. And I said, I'm calling your company. He goes, good luck finding me FedEx. I'm like, yeah? Okay. Uh-huh. So I get in the car and I go, well, lo and behold, the person I'm meeting, her husband just retired as a FedEx driver. So it was so perfect timing that I got the phone number to call and I called and complained about him. Now, the first guy said, where did it happen? What? He didn't ask what happened. So I do all this and I'm telling... telling this guy, he said, well, someone's going to call you back. Well, all day goes by, they never called. So last night I call again. And I said, and he said, well, could you explain why you're calling about the complaint? I said, well, you're never going to believe this. I live in the city and there was a chicken, rooster, hen, whatever it was, crossing the street. And I was just trying to make sure it was safe. And this idiot behind me is blowing his horn, screaming at my window. So I tell him the whole story. I said, look, I don't think you're supposed to do stuff like that. I get mad at people the way they drive. I don't scream and yell at them. I think I even threw the guy the finger when I was leaving, too, because I had had it. Because if he showed some sensibility or kindness when I got out, I would have, like, I was prepared to do that, but he didn't. So anyway, I filed a complaint with the guy. Now, they don't know who he is yet, neither do I. I should have been, like, take a picture of the truck. I didn't, because I thought I'm not. So whatever, I'm still feeling I'm doing the right thing. So I get to Broadway Theater then, and I'm sitting with Mary Jean, and all of a sudden I get a text from Michael Brown, right? A text. And I think, you know... Really? I'm thinking, Mike Brown, well, why is he texting me? Right? So I'm thinking, okay, something has to be up here. And so I look and it says, keep an eye out. And I'm thinking, what? And there's a picture from the newspaper, an article under pets and suppliers. And it says, help rescue the Green Ridge chicken. Beautiful black hen with an orange neck ring, last seen Saturday, May 4th, in the 1200 block of Muncie Avenue. If any sightings, please call this number. She will not be out after dark. Thank you for your help. So I'm thinking, okay, this is a joke, and I'm going to call this number, and they're going to say, you're punked, we did, you know, and Mike will be laughing. So I call him. I said, please call me. He calls, and he said, Laurie, that is in the newspaper. And I'm like, well, I figured, because it really looks real, but... So I call this lady. She's a rescuer. She and her other friend, Marie, who put the ad in, they're rescuers. They found out about the chicken. People have been talking about it. They've trying to get this chicken since May 4th.
Oh,
somebody had it, and then the door didn't close on whatever they had, and they couldn't get it. It won't let you get it because it'll run.
Right.
And it doesn't go, which I didn't know. She said it won't go out after dusk. At dusk, they find a place to roost because they can't see.
Oh.
So it's going up to the Interloke, is that the name of its sanctuary? Mm-hmm. My buddy Johnny Braz is up there. So they called and said, can we bring her there? They said yes, because they don't know if it's somebody's in the someone who has chickens and lost, it got out, or if it's used for some other reason. But this thing is prancing around Greenridge. So they're calling it the Greenridge chicken. So, of course, I would see her and want to try to rescue her. So now my I'm keeping my eyes peeled everywhere I am. So this lady said, oh, and I told her about the FedEx guy, and she said, oh, God bless you, honey. You're trying to help. And I said, I know. That was the irony of it all. Here I am trying to be a good citizen, right?
Yes.
And this guy takes off on me like nobody's business. So anyway, only I would run into the Greenridge chicken. And so if you're out there and you see it, it's black, it's beautiful. I have pictures. I even sent them to these ladies, and she said, that's her, that's her. And I'm thinking, I hope it's her, because how many the hell other chickens are running around Greenridge? It better be her. So I'm just afraid someone's going to, you know, she doesn't care.
Post those pictures to Facebook. You've got an account.
I will. It's just so funny. So
that
only I would
good.
Have end up, and Mike Brown on it. And I said, what did Jake tell you that he saw me? She said, yes. And Mrs. Foley saw the rooster chicken, whatever. And she said, it's actually a hen.
Oh,
I said, okay, a hen. So I said, what's her name? Because if her name was ever Aunt Cat and RN, this was a major sign. And she said, well, I'm calling her Miss, wait, you hear this, Mrs. McNuggets. She said, but that's not her name. And I said that, and she said, Marie gets mad at me because she said, that's not nice. But anyway.
Oh, that is too funny.
Too cute.
But
and she is adorable. And it would only happen to me. And she is so beautiful. Oh, wait till I show you how gorgeous. Okay. The color and the, honest to God, for taking shots under duress with FedEx behind me screaming.
Well, I want
now, I don't know if he's my FedEx driver. And Meyer said, he's going to throw your stuff on the porch, break it. I said, yeah, let him try. Let him try.
So,
vigilante. I'm a FedEx vigilante and a chicken rescuer now.
All right, so you need to send me a picture so I can post it on our Facebook site.
I'm going to show it to you. I'll send it. They're great pictures.
Okay,
great pictures. But it's just... Oh my God! And it was so. Can you even imagine thinking you're going to see a hen crossing the? So people are calling me saying, "Laurie, why did the chicken cross the road?"
Oh, of course.
Hello.
I didn't think about that one.
To get to the other
side.
That
would have been perfect.
Yeah, That's
what I'm
listening
to. Did I tell you my story last week about the turtle that I rescued in the middle of the road?
No.
Oh, well.
At the shore?
Very similar. I was coming out of my house, you know, in the car.
Yeah.
And I was driving down just maybe about two or three homes after ours. And I see this thing in the middle of the road that seems to be moving. But not very fast.
Yeah, not very fast.
So I pulled
slow and steady
over,
wins the race.
And I said, oh, it's a turtle. So I went over and I thought, oh, I don't know what to do because I can't just let it get run over.
No, you got to pick them up by the shell, yeah.
So I picked them up underneath the shell. And, of course, the legs and the arms
are going
like
all over
crazy.
Right.
And I was trying to get them to the other side of the road, right? Well, right before I went to do
them,
he starts tinkling all over me.
Oh, Lynn, gross. And you didn't drop him.
No, I did not.
Oh.
I did not. I got him over to the other side, and I put him down on the grass, and he just went on his merry way. But
well,
I felt
that was
good.
Probably a fear, like, you know, he was afraid.
Oh, yes. He's scared to death of me. You know,
God.
He didn't know what I was going to do with him.
It's better than picking up a skunk, and he did his thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but no, that was fun. That was,
yeah,
it made
feel
me feel
good when you see.
When
exactly.
I felt good.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I just thought when I told that FedEx driver, he would have, like, the his feminine side, maybe, or nurturing side, would have come out and said,
no.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
No.
See? No.
So, he's got time
and again,
commitments.
I yell at people in my car if they're doing, I'm not saying no one gets frustrated with wackiness. I get it. But to be in a business truck with your name of your company plastered all over it, and you're acting like a lunatic over something so ridiculous, there were no cars around. It's like one little block. It was ridiculous. I say, here's the life I saved was his.
Yeah.
Well, please. Anyway, so we whatever. But that's my story. So if you see the Green Ridge Chicken, call. There's a phone number. You can find it.
And they'll be calling you.
Yeah. Oh, I don't care. You. Call me. I don't care. We're going to help this chicken. Anyway, we're going to take a fast break. You're listening to the Laurie and Lynn Show. We'll be right back.
It's Saturday morning with Laurie and Lynn. Now, back to Laurie and Lynn.
We're back. My name is Lynn Evans. I am the managing director of a company called Women of Substance, LLC. It's a financial planning firm designed specifically for the needs of baby boomer women. I'm also the host of a podcast called Power of the Purse, available on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
And I'm Laurie Cadden, the owner of Laurie Cadden Enterprises, which is a fundraising, PR, and special event business.
So 2 weeks ago, when we were talking about the five women who had stories to tell about gray divorce, we completed the other two last week with attorney Barbara O'Hara, who is a divorce attorney. And I promised when I was cut off 2 weeks ago from time that I would get back on another subject, which was another article I had read from Women's Day magazine. And it is titled How I Began Exploring My Sexuality After My Husband Died. Kind of like the same thing for a lot of women who have been through divorces. I think the issue is that for most people who had been married for more than 20 some years, the idea of being involved with other sexual partners is so foreign, it's ridiculous, because you kind of feel like everything is nice and settled and, you know, whatever in your life.
Or nothing's happening.
Yeah. And you're okay with that, because that's just how it's been.
That's how it goes,
right. So all of a sudden, circumstances in your life force you to take a look at your own sexuality. And I thought this was interesting, that the one that is probably the one that we will most likely tolerate in our society is a woman who has been widowed, who is relatively young, excuse me, and is really interested in maintaining a sex life and no longer has her partner. So this woman wrote the article. Her name is Debbie Weiss. And this was in 2016. I was curious to know, after I read it, how are things going with her now? But her point was, and she said the subtitle of this article was, I thought I was done with sex until dating helped me rediscover the joy of life. She said, my current boyfriend was shocked when after we first made love, I told him that all I wanted in a relationship at the time was a friends with benefits situation.
Uh-huh.
It had been a year and 8 months since my husband had died. My sex drive had recovered, but my heart was still hibernating. I've been my husband George's caregiver as he'd succumbed to cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Sex had been a part of my life for a long time. I was too worried about him to think about much else. I felt like I had no sexuality. Excuse me. After he died in 2013, I figured I was done with sex. He'd been my high school sweetheart, my first and only. If you'd asked me then, I would have said that I'm 50. I have 32 years of memories. I'm not interested in sex. It's for other people. I thought I might get a cat once I was ready to take care of anything again. What I got instead was an unlikely best friend who helped me look after George. My friend was a movie buff, belonging to several film societies. He started asking me to movie screenings. He'd stop by my house some evenings to avoid rush hour, so he said. A few months after George's death, things between us became physical. My brain was still deep in mourning, but other parts of me were in overdrive, reminding me that I was still alive, healthy, and up for fun. When I told one of my girlfriends about my new sex life, she said, good for you for getting back on the horse. Another friend said something I took to heart, that as women, we can claim our pleasure without shame, that our sexuality is a gift to be proud of. The idea that we should only have sex within the context of a serious relationship was an antiquated judgment to be disregarded. And I agree, despite being raised conservatively by a widowed father who taught me that nice girls say no. I eventually ended things with my friend. He wanted an exclusive relationship, and I didn't. 14 months after George died, I decided I was ready to date. My brain wanted a relationship that was emotionally fulfilling with the potential to be long-lasting. I would be a, quote, good girl, unquote, again, finding someone I loved and who loved me back, getting into a proper relationship, and having sex only after an appropriate amount of time. I miss my husband desperately. I still do. But I realized that whatever I did couldn't affect him. He was gone. I owed it to myself and to him to be healthy and careful, but my private life was up to me. I became more open and much less judgy. I went online. It was fun dating a few guys at once. I did what I felt like regardless of any potential for a relationship. I told the men I dated, I was with my husband since my high school prom. These are my college years now. I did the experimenting I hadn't done in my 20s. For the first time since I was 17, I was single. I was just going through my single years later than most people do. Even my dad was glad I was dating and having fun. He started giving me dating advice. His opinions on sex apparently varied greatly when speaking to a 50-year-old widow as opposed to his teenage daughter. But when he jokingly suggested I buy new lingerie, I told him that was too much. In November 2015, I started dating my current boyfriend. I was still seeing a few other guys, too, but I had started to feel different. I wanted to feel strongly about the person I was with. I was tired of having experiences for their own sake. Within a week, I'd stopped dating anyone but my boyfriend. Now we've been together 15 months. My reawakening since my husband died really surprised me. I went from expecting to be done with sex to having an intense physical relationship, to experimenting in a way I never had when I was younger, and finally, to being with someone I love. But more importantly, rediscovering my sexuality helped me to be open to enjoying life again and to look at new things with curiosity instead of judgment.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that happens. Listen, I told you, you know, my hook on, you know, Grace and Frankie, and yeah. Even though they're older, yeah. You know, in this show, that's the stuff they're dealing with. And although it's not real because it's a show, it still touches on all of these same things that so many women and men, for that matter, have to deal with.
And that was the point I was making, that it's even though the circumstances that caused the singleness are different. It's divorce versus widowhood.
Right.
It's still the same thing.
Absolutely.
It's still that after 25 years or so of being with somebody, and especially in their case, because they didn't even realize they were with men who were gay.
Right.
that does a whole number on your head.
Uh-huh.
But I think the point is that nobody talked about this stuff. Even in my mother's generation, nobody talked about it. I remember when my mom married Jim, her second husband. You wonder about things like that. I wonder if they have a sexual relationship, you know, because they're in their 60s or whatever it was. And she said to me that they had separate bedrooms. They didn't sleep together. And it was something that she decided. She said, if you're looking for this kind of relationship, that's not who I am. I'm not interested in that anymore.
Yeah, I think you can. I think there's people who can live like that, who want the same thing. Obviously, there are. But then there are many women who never, like my Nana Cadden, never got remarried again. Never, I don't think, ever went on a date. Never. My grandma, my mother's mother, never remarried. My grandfather died. My grandmother, I think, was 45 or some between 45 and 50. And she never went on a date. Never. And never remarried. My father was gone for 18 years before my mom died, she never dated anybody else. Yeah.
There was just that expectation.
Right, they just didn't do
it. You're done. And that's why I think this is so interesting. And you say Frankie and
Grace. Grace and Frankie, I love it. Grace,
yeah.
Yeah.
In addition to all the things that are going on there in that show, it's also the underlying part about a lot of this is the reawakening of their own sexuality. Either they deny it or they embrace it.
Or just the fact that they even think about, like even with the Jane Fonda character, reliving this relationship she had with the guy who she, it was sort of when she was married, but nothing happened, but she felt strongly enough for him and she wanted it to, but it didn't. And then she's reawakened by all those feelings with this guy. I mean, yeah. and it's so even though it's just art, it's imitating life. Yeah. And it's all the same. That's what I love about it, because they're technically in their late 70s, early 80s, but they say they're in the beginning of the show that they're in their 70s. It turns out later that she really is 80 in the show, mm-hmm. meaning Grace. Mm-hmm. But the point is, it still touches on older as people age and then what they go through in their life after major changes.
Right. And so, I think the one thing I was just reading about this is that, I don't know how you pronounce his last name, Ken Dykewald, I think, or something like that, he was a prognosticator for years ago about trends he sees going on. He said 1 in 4 people who are now 65 will live to 90.
Yeah.
1 in 4. Yeah. I mean, that's just extraordinary.
Right.
And 1 in 3 or something will make it to 95 or something. But we still think in this society that there's some kind of terminal point where you just kind of check out of life, and that's around 65. And we still do. We still support that. We call everybody seniors. We call it. Yeah. There's all that stuff. But I think that as we are aging as a society, we're going to have to seriously reconsider a lot of these norms that we have and say, well, how do we adapt to all this? Obviously, the part that, you know, everybody thinks I'm most concerned about is
the money.
Are you going to outlive your money?
Right.
Well, it's not just that.
No,
it's
it isn't.
There's so many other aspects to our lives. It's just amazing that our parents didn't have those choices. They just didn't.
And the beauty is of all of this, to bring this full circle, is that you have a choice in a relationship, A, whether you want one or not, and B, what kind it's going to be. And you're in the driver's seat from a woman's standpoint.
Yep.
You're not at all those expectations. Mm-hmm. What house am I going to buy? How much money are we going to make? Are we going to have kids? Are we going to do this? Which school? How are we going to? All that is gone.
Yeah.
So it's a good place to be. So
I think
anyway.
It is.
All right, well, if you see the Green Ridge Chicken, give me a call. And otherwise, we thank you for listening. And look out for the FedEx guy in Green Ridge. And we will see you next week. Have a good weekend. Be safe. And please be nice.
Bye.
Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.